Peter R. Bregan, M.D., is called the conscience of psychiatry for his many decades of successful reform efforts. His scientific and educational work provide the foundation for modern criticism of drugs and ECT, and lead the way in promoting more caring and effective therapies. His books include Talking Back to Prozac, Toxic Psychiatry, Medication Madness, Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal, and now, Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety, Understanding and Overcoming Negative Emotions. Welcome to the Dr. Peter Bregan Hour.
Hello again, my wonderful, wonderful audience. We have been busy working really, really hard on our book. And I think a very wonderful addition to that conversation is Leo Homan, who is we're looking at right now. And he has written just in-depth critiques. His stuff has been in a lot of different places, WIND.com, Front Page, Drudge Report, and so on. And he's been interviewed by Laura, which on her radio, which is wonderful, and Horowitz and Larry Elder. Like, he's been on George Norrie. I'm George Norrie's resident psychiatrist. Every Thursday, usually Thursdays at 10 p.m. on the coast and 1 and 10 a.m. here, I go on and George gives me some topic to talk about. But he doesn't really want me in my critic role. I'm the hope guy on George Norrie. I give hope. That's what he thinks I should do as a psychiatrist, which sounds perfectly reasonable. but I've been with George for probably quite a decade. I mean, it's been a long time with George Norrie. You get to talk to millions of people there.
Absolutely.
Folks, I read Leo's blog, which very closely parallels my own research and Ginger's research on the global predators. And much to my delight, he says he's been using the term global predators ever since he saw me on Patrick's wonderful show, where I talked about those issues, Patrick Coffin's show. So I'd like to launch right in and have you talk some about your views on all of this and any place you want to take it. I want to sit back.
Sure. Well, I first want to just say thank you so much, Dr. Bregan, for having me join you on your podcast. It's an absolute honor. But my own background is I started in mainstream journalism, worked 28 years with various newspapers, mostly in the Atlanta and Charlotte, North Carolina areas. I worked also for a business journal in Raleigh, North Carolina, the whole Research Triangle Park biotechnology mm-hmm. field, covered a little bit of that, but that was like way back in the early 90s. And eventually just kind of got disgusted with mainline journalism because they never seemed to want to follow the facts wherever they led. And that's you know, kind of the main ethos of a ethical journalist is you follow the facts wherever they lead, even if they lead you in a direction that you were not predisposed to want to arrive at, if you know what I mean.
Yes. So,
journalists are not much different than investigators in law enforcement or maybe, an investigator in the medical field. You start out looking at a set of facts and you follow the chain of those facts and you're just supposed to neutrally look for the ultimate core or solution to the quandary that you're originally faced with. Well, they didn't want that anymore. They had a predetermined conclusion, and if you didn't arrive at it, they didn't want your journalism. And I saw this happening to me, not just myself, but many others much more well-known than myself. People like Cheryl Atkinson, a former CBS News correspondent, she had to leave. Lara Logan, another famous national TV correspondent. She covered the Arab Spring in Egypt. She had to leave mainstream because they didn't want her objective conclusion journalism anymore that she had arrived at. And it was going on like this all the way down the level to big newspapers, radio broadcasters, medium size, all the way down to the smallest newspaper in America was heading in this direction. And so I actually got fired from a job because I wanted to, I was covering the Atlanta area, and I wanted to find out the true economic cost of the Atlanta Braves moving their stadium from one side of Atlanta in one county, Fulton County, all the way clear across into the suburbs in northern Atlanta of Cobb County. And the Cobb County Chamber of Commerce, it was a big, you know, hurrah, hurrah, balloons and just big celebration. We're getting the Braves coming to our county, but, and it's going to be a great windfall for everyone. Well, I started looking into the tax package that they were going to, under which they were going to pay for all these incentives that they were luring the Braves to their county with. And I wanted to report the actual cost of that. And they said, no, no way, can't go there. And so you're out. I was the assistant editor of the newspaper and I was fired. Mm. Well, from that point on, I have launched fully into alternative news. I worked for WorldNet Daily as a staff editor for about 4 years, and then branched out on my own about 3.5 years ago. And I'm now an independent journalist at leohoman.com. That's the website where all of my articles appear first. And it's usually within hours of me posting an article at leohoman.com. My articles start getting picked up by other websites. And that's kind of how I make my living now, as an independent journalist. I also authored a book in 2017 called Stealth Invasion. It was all about, Peter, these global predators, as you call them. It was from a different angle. You have really zeroed in and drilled down on the public health and psychiatry angle. But this book, Stealth Invasion, drilled down on the issue of immigration and how these same global predators have contributed to our current broken immigration system. And so that's kind of my background. And I've approached these same global predators just from a different angle than you have. And so when I saw you make your presentation during Patrick Coffin's summit a few weeks back, I watched that entire 1 hour video. I wanted to watch it a second time, but you had to pay for it. And so I didn't subscribe or haven't, but, I just found it really eye opening, the way you have fought these same power brokers, these international power elites, over the years. And now you arrive at the same place I do, trying to wake people up on this COVID-19 pandemic, as they call it.
Good summary. And folks, this is a very important summary he's given you, because this has been going on a very long time now. And it's all about the imposition, on the one hand, of progressivism, but on another larger hand, just predators. Many of them call themselves progressives, but they haven't got an idealistic bone in their body. They have no desire to make wealth distribution or anything like that, but they may call themselves progressives. And then the people who call themselves capitalists, like Bill Gates and the people he works with, but they're predators, and they just have different veneers. This was one of the things that kind of really struck home to me about halfway through the book. The book was a real evolution for me. It was exactly what you're describing, of coming to conclusions that you weren't even looking for and frankly didn't want to reach. I did not want to think the world was corrupt, as I finally had to conclude, and that there was as much widespread corruption. I always deluded myself and said it was mostly in the psychiatric pharmaceutical industry because that's what I knew, but it's worldwide.
It seems like it has invaded every industry, every profession to one extent or another. I think my profession, journalism, was one of the first to be corrupted along with the education system, because those are the two industries, the educational system and the news industry. That, let's face it, those are the two industries that impact the way people think in the most direct way. You know, children get raised up going to public schools and they're separated from their parents and their whatever values their parents have been handing down to them at a very early age. And our schools have become nothing but indoctrination centers. And more people are finally waking up to that. It's amazing. With the critical race theory and the Common Core that a few years back, but more now with the critical race theory, I think, even than the Common Core controversy a few years back, people are finally waking up to the fact that these really are not education centers where we're sending our children. They are training our children. They're not educating them. Yeah. And you can train a dog, right? You know, but to educate someone is a uniquely human endeavor. And I think they gave up on that a long time ago. And the same with the journalism profession. I tell people now in 2021, what you have ended up with in the news business is essentially the worst of the worst. The people who are still working in that industry, whether it be at the New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, all the way down to the mid-size and smaller newspapers, they are the ones who it was either never important for them to get to the truth. It was just a job, and they'll literally just do whatever their boss tells them when they check in for work every day. Or they are knowingly presenting a false narrative and doing their best to crucify anyone, any source that presents an alternative narrative.
Again, a very good description of what's going on. I really appreciate it. It even helps me put my thinking together. It's been quite a journey to go through all this as really an exploration with the book. It was not, the conclusions are not what I began with as to just how bad it is. Let me say a word about just where people can get the book. And you can get COVID-19 and the Global Predators at www.wearethepray.com. www.wearethepray.com, an easy to remember phrase, I hope. And the book won't be out until July, but the minute you purchase the book, and it's a reduced price, the minute you purchase it, it will appear in manuscript in your email. And we've been doing this since March, and we've sold many thousands now of copies of the book. I think because we have this bonus, which I've never heard of anybody else doing, of you immediately get the manuscript, and we update the manuscript, and then we've at least one time sent updates to all the people who originally bought it way back. So we're getting this information out all over the world. To people, and sending it, you know, as much as we can to the various media who have not yet, they've not yet decided to really look at the conclusions that the book is. They're still excited that they're saying, the media on the right is all excited that they're saying that, oh, see, the Wuhan Institute, the other side's admitting finally that it that's where the virus came from. I mean, there's so much worse going on than the virus came out of the Wuhan Institute. One of the things we've concluded, and some of the conclusions I don't even want to talk about, I'm still stewing over them with Ginger, but is that this thing was planned. Do you think that's so?
That is an excellent point to bring up. I don't know if you're familiar with Reiner Fuhlmisch. He is an international lawyer based out of Germany, but he's
spell
also...
Spell his last name, Reinhard.
It's like Fuel, Fuellmich.
And has he got English language publications?
Yes, yes, he speaks. He's also licensed to practice in the state of California, so he speaks perfect English. I believe he has dual citizenship, but I'm not sure about that. But I just saw him this morning. You know, you talk about finding me and how I arrived at the same conclusions that you did, with, even though you and I don't know each other.
Yeah.
Well, I discovered the same thing this morning listening to Reiner Fuhlmisch on the War Room show with Steve Bannon. He was interviewed by Steve, and Mr. Fuhlmisch laid out a scenario that goes back 10 years and how they've been planning for this for at least a decade, this so-called
that's interesting, pandemic. Yeah. This is the stuff I sent Bannon months ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Bannon did seem to be somewhat surprised by it, and which surprised me. You know, I've been writing about this for over a year now, that this goes back 10 years with the Rockefeller Foundation's involvement, where they put out a white paper called Operation Lockstep, Rockefeller Foundation Lockstep, where they game planned a coronavirus pandemic, a global pandemic, exactly like what we're seeing now. And the Chinese system was lauded as the one that was held up as the model on how to deal with this pandemic because they had a, quote, more authoritarian system. And the authoritarian system, according to this Rockefeller Foundation paper, was the best system to deal with this. And the authoritarian measures, the lockdowns, the mandatory mask wearing and stuff like this, according to the Rockefeller paper, should not be relinquished even after the pandemic is under control. And so they basically put it all out there 10 years ago on what they were planning.
Yes, yes. You're going to love seeing the book because it's got like a 30-page chronology at the end. And we're planning to continue to do the chronology after the book comes out. Uh-huh. And it goes back to that same point, too. The science that they were now seeing in warp speed, I track that back to 2006 when they were already saying that this was dangerous. And
you mean this mRNA technology?
Yeah, that the technology was dangerous, that any vaccines were dangerous for COVID. They could not get away from it killing old mice.
Right.
Way back when you vaccinate them and then they get exposed, they get very, very sick from being exposed. And
when they encounter a virus in the natural world, right? What, some months or years later?
Well, with the mice, of course, it's in a very short period of time in the labs, but we don't have months and years later studies, as you know, Leo.
Exactly.
They have not done the months and years later studies.
No, they have not. And yet it's over and over, what do they have this mantra that they repeat, safe and effective. Facebook, they will take down a completely 100% neutral factual post and say that if you're talking about the vaccines, and they'll put a screen over it and say COVID, they're either eliminate it or they'll allow it with a warning saying, you know, COVID vaccines have been tested vigorously tested and found to be safe and effective, which we all know is blatantly false. But it's like an alternative universe that these global predators live in. And they're trying to corrupt the minds of the average American to live in the same universe they live in, which I'm assuming they know is a lie. They have no conscience. They're extremely arrogant. And it's all, in my opinion, some people say it's all about money, and I know there is that element to this whole COVID pandemic and the vaccines, the experimental vaccines. They're making tons of money, right? But to me, there's a level above those who are making money. It's those who are looking for the control measures that they've always sought. Yes.
So interesting. One of the things that I've done with, because of my science background, and you know, I've written literally medical books this thick with more than 1,000 scientific, purely scientific references in them, and there has actually been much more animal research than people realize. They say there was no animal research for this, but there's been a considerable body of animal research that universally warns that the vaccines are unsafe for animals.
Is that the ones in the ferrets? The ferrets, I think there was one. Wasn't there one study with ferrets, I believe, for the first? It was either the first SARS or it was MERS.
Yeah, this, with the COVID, it's mostly mice. But yes, I'm sticking almost entirely with what we have working on the COVID, starting with the first COVID.
Right.
And that I think there was a ferret, I'm trying to remember, but there's a ton of mice ones going back to 2006.
I see.
And the first, people don't know this, the first epidemic, the only previous one with SARS-CoV was 2002-2004, and it's still not proven that that was from nature. They talk about it like, oh, it's from nature. But actually, people don't know this. SARS-CoV has never been found in nature, folks. I've found articles that outright lie in the scientific literature. Wow. There's a big reservoir of SARS-CoV viruses in nature. No, there aren't. It's never been found in nature. They went back and looked desperately to prove it was from nature in the bat caves during SARS-CoV-1. The famous Batwoman started her work back then with the communist Chinese. They have never.
And they had that nefarious American character was working with her, Dr. Ralph Baric, out of University of North Carolina. Yeah.
He goes way, way back with her. So this is a ton of research, folks, about how all this evolved. Tell us more about your own views and what you think are some of the most important things you've found.
Well, I'm still torn, Dr. Breggin, on whether this is, like you said, it's never been. Has this virus been isolated?
Yes.
That's what I thought, because some people still say that it has not been isolated, and I don't really believe that. And so you're confirming what I believe. That's good.
There is a virus. It's been isolated by different groups. Its complete domain has been evaluated, and everybody who's honest says that it comes from the line of viruses that you mentioned, Ralph Baric, that Fauci funded. Fauci funded these virus research, not only at North Carolina, but in studies where North Carolina was collaborating with China, and also just funded Chinese working in the Wuhan Institute. So Fauci lied through his teeth. Lie.
Absolutely. And so do you believe that Fauci is telling all these lies purely for financial gain, or is he involved at a higher level?
Well, I think Fauci, first of all, he's like a mafia boss in a locality. Mm-hmm. He's not anywhere near the chief mafia boss.
Right.
He's more like a soldier, but not really a soldier. There's an intimate level, a sort of a neighborhood guy, and the neighborhood is America and the world. But he doesn't call the shots, not even close. Fauci, for a long time, has been on the vaccine committee of Bill Gates.
Right.
So you've got this very small elite international vaccine committee that Gates advises, and they advise Gates, and they talk. And we know that Gates has been in closer touch with Fauci, and also to some extent, I think, with the head of NIH himself, more than with the president. He said that in one of the videos I watched, that he, after a while, clearly the president maybe wasn't interested in hearing from him, but Fauci never tires of hearing from him. And they all are connected through the World Health Organization, which Fauci funds. But the it's not just it's not by Gates, not even Gates close to World, just being yeah. Gates.
Gates yeah. funds the World Health Organization and the CDC.
Yeah, he gives money to yeah. CDC, yeah. but he gives money everywhere to, and then they dance.
And he also, a lot of people don't know this. He's given hundreds of millions to newspapers and other journalistic outlets over the years, specifically for coverage of issues that he cares about, which are basically twofold: vaccines and climate change. Those are the two issues that he cares about, and he pays for positive coverage in the American news media.
I didn't know this, Leo. Yes. Bless yeah. you.
$230 million, I believe, dollars has been traced directly from Bill Gates' foundations to, you know, ABC, Washington Post, PBS, CBC in Canada, several UK, big-time UK, The Guardian, and other big-time
Up
UK.
In Australia, too.
Yes. I mean, all the major media have received funding from Gates on how to on their for specifically for their coverage of vaccines and climate change.
Would you please send me some of the data yes. or anything you've written on it, and I'll track your yes. links.
Absolutely,
that would be a mitzvah. That's a good deed.
Columbia Journalism Review did a fantastic article on that about a year and a half ago on the Gates financial ties to the mainstream media and exactly how much it works, how it works. It was a long article, and Columbia Journalism Review is like the trade publication like that yeah. that almost all news outlets are familiar mm-hmm. with if they don't read. And so it has incredible prestige. It would be like the Lancet for the medical industry.
Which is very corrupt. I have a whole chapter on the corruption yes, of Lancet.
Yes. Well, I was shocked to read this article in the Columbia Journalism Review because they are very mainstream and very liberal, left-leaning. And so I was shocked to read the article. It was done by a freelance writer. I don't remember his name, but I will send it to you. And the $230 million that he tracked, they concluded was really probably just the tip of the iceberg because a lot of this money is impossible to track.
You're right. That's great. I'll just plug that in. The book, folks, is probably going to go to the bookmaker, which is the step where you put it into a computer, in a couple of days after you've seen this. A couple of days after we recorded this, which is June 8th, 2021. Well, that's very interesting. So let me ask again about important things that that you've seen in this whole global predator mess.
Yeah, I find the whole connection between the American scientific community and China very interesting. I did not know how extensive it was and how many years back it goes. Like, we've talked about this character, Dr. Ralph Baric. You know, then you've got this other sleazy character who's been working with Fauci, Dr. Peter Daszak.
Right.
And he, as I understand it, was the sort of middleman who Fauci's government agency gave the money to in a form of a grant. And then he was like a subcontractor who transferred the money to the lab in Wuhan, China. And so when he was when he was being interrogated by Senator Rand Paul a few weeks ago, Fauci, he point blank denied that his agency was funding gain of function research in China. And the only reason I can suppose that he thought that he could get away with that lie was because there was this go-between, this Dr. Peter Daszak, who runs this company called Eco Health Alliance. And that's the entity, as I understand it, that actually forwarded the money to China. And so there's all these interlocking, fairly complex relationships that the American media does not even want to go near, and they don't want to look into, And that's why people like you and your book are going to be so fundamental. And then people like me, the non-mainstream media, trying to get the word out about your book,
yeah,
I think is going to be also critical. Because you could write this fantastic book, but if not enough people get it in their hands, then it will fall short of its goals.
Yeah.
So I think it's good that you reached out to me, but there's others like myself that I can also help maybe help you get in touch with.
That'd be wonderful, Leo.
Yes.
Yeah. Folks, you might be interested in how some of this works in a little more detail. I mean, it's interesting. What happens is that the money comes from two different groups to China. It comes from the National Institutes of Health, which is an umbrella organization. And that's run by Francis Collins,
right,
who is also a globalist predator, a global predator.
Oh, and he's an interesting character. Yeah, we can talk more about him, but continue.
Okay, yeah, let's come back to him, because I don't spend as much time as I should on him in the book.
Yeah.
And the other money, it comes from many sources, actually. Other money that's doing the same thing is coming from NIAID, which is Fauci's organization, the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases. But you can track it very directly, because Fauci's, you can go in and look at the grants that Fauci's giving out. And the grants are described as fundamentally includes making pathogenic viruses out of very harmless coronaviruses in labs. And that's what's called gain of function research. And that's what he lied about to the US Senate. But it outlines it, and then it says it will go to Echo Health for one whole stream of this as you look it up.
Uh-huh.
And then Echo Health passes it on. But they also give from NIH and from NIAID money directly to the Batwoman. I mean, uh-huh, she's a direct uh-huh recipient herself.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the Wuhan Institute, where the Batwoman and other people work, it's a military facility, folks. Nobody who knows anything has ever doubted that the Chinese communists run the Wuhan Institute as a biomedical warfare institute. And so Fauci has been funding through a number of sources, and so has NIH. But then it gets even weirder, because money is also coming in from other odd places. And some of the funding comes from DARPA, which is the Defense Department's experimental research people. And they're involved with working with the Chinese. So the globalism is deeply embedded in the deep state, what I like to call the embedded globalist state, embedded in our government. I never expected to find anything like this. Just as you were saying, Leo, I thought I was going to find the stuff I'd found before about corruption between the drug companies and mm-hmm how they make vaccines and stuff. Oh, it's so beyond that.
Yes.
It's a worldwide phenomenon.
Frightening. Yeah, the depth of this evil, I think, Dr. Breggin, is what's so frightening. It is on so many different levels. And so... It almost makes you question everything. Nothing can be taken for granted that we hear in the mainstream media is truth.
Nothing.
You just brought up an interesting angle with DARPA's involvement. They are also working on some kind of treatment, I'm sure you've heard about it, where you would have some subdermal chip embedded under your skin, and this chip would be able to determine the level of coronavirus in your bloodstream at any given time, in real time. So it's almost like maybe the next step beyond the mRNA vaccines. I don't know.
I haven't heard that specifically. I've heard a lot about chips. Again, Leo, I'll send you my manuscript, and please, please send me the stuff on the
DARPA. Yes.
On the DARPA chip.
Yes, DARPA definitely has a chip. It came out it may have even been in a mainstream media publication. I don't remember. It was 2 or 3 weeks ago This stuff seems to come out at such a dizzying speed, it just makes your head spin.
Right, right.
Yeah. But it was definitely a subdermal device that was inserted in the body and was able to monitor the level of coronavirus in a person's system before they had any symptoms, which, as you know, a lot of people don't get symptoms anyway. But think about the level of control if that could be at some point injected into people without their knowing. And see, to me, you asked where I think a lot of this is going. Here's my take on it. I am not a scientist. I don't try to get too much into the weeds of exactly what the mRNA technology is going to do to people long term, because I don't think even the scientists have a real firm handle on that right now. However, we do know that it's already killing people, even in the short term, right? The VAERS numbers, the governmental officially reported raw data numbers are over 5,100 now. That's up through May the 28th, the most recent report.
Yeah.
And so we know that in the short term, it's killing people.
And that's, by the way, a huge number, folks. You would usually take a vaccine off the market entirely if it killed 50 people or 100 people.
Correct.
And if it even gave them neurological disorders. So this is quite bizarre what's going on.
Right. So with over 5,000 VAERS reported deaths, that's more than all the other vaccines combined over the last 22 years.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself should be enough to get this thing immediately pulled off the market. But nobody's even talking about that.
Yeah.
No mainstream media is even asking questions about that. Okay. So we know that even in the short and the midterm, this vaccine is going to kill and injure people. That's already obvious. But then we think about the long-term effects. And I'm not even talking necessarily just about the effects of this particular injection, the one that people have already gotten. I think we need to think beyond that. And think in terms of the pressure that's being brought to bear on people to get this vaccine. And now they're already talking about a third injection will be necessary in the fall. So what are they doing? They're conditioning the Western mind of humanity in the world. They're conditioning us to think in terms of regular vaccines. We don't know what is in these vaccines specifically, even the one that's currently being injected, let alone future vaccines. So if DARPA already has invented technology that will insert a subdermal device into the human body and be able to monitor us, and we'll be able to track what's in our body, what are we doing? Not just of coronavirus. If they can do it for coronavirus, they can do it for anything. And so this is what I'm looking at. The psychology of it really is what I'm looking at it. And how are they conditioning people to think about their own health? They're conditioning them, number one, to think that they need an injection of an unknown substance, even though they're healthy. They need this injection to keep them healthy. That is an extremely big leap, I think, from traditional American Western medicine, where we treat sick people, right? And as you've documented throughout the years, they even have corrupt treatments for sick people, okay?
Yeah.
With the antidepressants and so forth. But now they've taken it up a notch. They have a corrupt, potentially more corrupt treatment for healthy people. And so that to me is where a lot of people are missing, and a lot of the people who are going along with getting the injection are missing. They're not sick. So why are they going to need not just one vaccine, but ongoing regular vaccine quote updates? And I've pointed out in my article how this mirrors Bill Gates' treatment of the hardware that's we're speaking through right now, the computer.
Updating,
regular updating to protect it from
that is brilliant.
Viruses? Yes. And so I think this is really about transhumanism in the end, and the merging of man with machines and the regular updating. I've also chronicled how in some of my articles how Moderna, on its own website, conflates its mRNA technology with the computer system. They say that they compare their mRNA technology to a, they say it is, quote, very similar to a computer operating system. And once it is installed in the hardware, which is our bodies, once they install their software system into our hardware, our bodies, they say, all they say that it's very easy, and this is their words, not mine, to plug and play continual updates to that software system. So it all fits together once you start looking at it, the whole Bill Gates outlook on the world, you know, the fact that the world is overpopulated, it needs to be drastically depopulated, and then you talk about where it's going. Back to that question. I think this is all about these global predators, as you call them, depopulating the world into a more manageable size population. And those of us who are allowed to survive under this new system, this technocratic transhumanist system, those who are allowed to survive, whether it be 80%, 50%, or whatever of the current population, they will have to retrain us according to their values on how to live. And that's where you get into the Great Reset, Klaus Schwab, exactly, and the World Economic Forum, and that whole angle to the story is about retraining us. They talk about building it back better, okay? The World Economic Forum, Davos crowd, and all the politicians like Joe Biden, Justin Trudeau, Boris Johnson, you know, Kamala Harris, they all speak the language. They talk about build it back better. Well, where did that come from? That came from the Davos people, Klaus Schwab. And in order to build something back better, the connotation is you have to destroy what's already out there. And that was the whole reason for COVID, in my opinion. It was one huge wrecking ball to destroy Western civilization as we know it, so that they can then replace that with a new type of civilization, a more controlled society, as Zbigniew Brzezinski said in his 1970 book, which was America in the Technotronic Era, Between Two Ages. I'm sorry, that was the subtitle. The main title was Between Two Ages, and the subtitle was America in the Technotronic Era. In 1970, we were between these two ages of the industrial, mechanical, and the digital information-based society, which Klaus Schwab calls the fourth industrial revolution. Now, in 2021, 35 years later, 40 years later, I don't believe we're still between those two ages. We are solidly in this new digital age. But the final step is to change the way people live so that they will fit into this, quote, more controlled society that they've always desired. The one thing about globalists, Peter, is they're so arrogant that they love to talk. And they love to actually reveal their plans. But it never shows up in the mainstream media. You have to go to the original sources, like Zbigniew Brzezinski's 1970 book, you know, and these type of things to find the playbook. They've telegraphed their playbook to us years ago, and now we see it coming into fruition.
My wonderful audience, you've just heard the best summary I've ever heard of what's going on right now. That's it. That is very, very much it. And if you go to Leo's website, you're going to get a ton of information about that, Leo Holman. And if you go to my website, you'll get some information about it, but the book documents in painful detail at times, I apologize for that, everything that this wonderful man's talking about. And it, I mean, you can just look at the details. One of the things that Leo's just connected is Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab's Great Reset. So on the one hand, you have Bill Gates announcing his vaccines, announcing in 2017, 3 years before the great, before Operation Warp Speed, he's announcing his version of Operation Warp Speed. 2017, Bill Gates is announcing these platforms with Moderna, all these names you hear today, and with Pfizer, and he's going to be making vaccines so they can come out so fast and just zip past FDA approval in new ways. He's talking about all this. Clearly, his mind, if not the origin of it all, is organizing it for big industry. And where does he make these announcements? He makes them first at a Davos conference, Klaus Schwab's conference, and then later from Klaus Schwab's offices in short videos that shockingly few people have watched, which you right. will find on my... documented in the book. This is very enlightening for me, Leo. I'm getting some pieces here and there that I haven't put together. The picture is so big because if you look, folks, at one of Klaus Schwab's conferences or at Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York several times, who is basically a communist sympathizer who actually works closely with Xi Jinping, the head of China's Communist Party,
yes,
and communist government and communist world. If you go to one of his, look at his conferences, one he held, for example, during the Trump era, when Trump was coming down hard on the globalists. Trump actually early on got to a fight with the biggest Republican globalist, Charles Koch, the Koch yes. family, called them globalists. And they were very upset and worried about Trump. And you can just see them getting together at their conferences with CEOs of the biggest corporations. So it's not just Bill Gates financing.
No, not by a stretch.
People from all walks of life in the educational field, the news field are there, the Clintons are there,
yes.
all kinds of folks are at these big conferences. And
you got
and
the Vatican is heavily involved in this.
I never liked this Pope, but that was disillusioning.
You have got this Pope hanging out with Jeffrey Sachs, who is, he's one for you to look up if you haven't heard of him. He is the climate czar for the Vatican, Jeffrey Sachs. And he, oh my goodness, he had a vendetta against Trump that was one of the almost insanely strong vendettas I've ever seen spoken publicly, where he went on a diatribe against Trump at a Vatican hearing, co-sponsored by the United Nations on climate change, and he was saying that Trump was an enemy of the world and must be brought down. He said that Trump made the United States the most dangerous country in the world, and that he needed to be defeated in 2020, or America would become a predator. There's that word. They often accuse people of what they're guilty of.
Yeah. I'd love that video too. I mean, there's so many things I love from you. I don't want to burden you, but we'll make fair exchanges.
Okay. Yeah. Jeffrey Sachs. I think I can find that one as well.
Oh, my God. You know, folks, if you've ever wondered how the Vatican came up with all the billions of dollars that it had to pay in restitution and stuff for its child abuse.
Yeah.
Xi Jinping baited for him. They made huge contributions to the Vatican. Huge. You didn't know that. Yes, the communists, the Pope went to China, he came back, and
He signed a pact with the Chinese, a secret pact in 2017. Yes.
It was a money pact.
Okay. I didn't know about the money. That makes sense. But I do know that in that secret pact, the Pope allowed the Chinese Communist Party to literally pick or approve of the bishops that were appointed in China.
Never before done. Never. So this is how thick it is, folks. It's like dismaying. It's so interesting to talk to you, Leo, because you'll say to me, well, I didn't know that. And I think I'm saying more often to you, I didn't have that.
I may have to re-listen
to this to get educated. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I'm just saying that it is exactly what you said. There's a definite camaraderie among people who've never known each other before. That's what's so amazing. But yet we've been researching a lot of the same things. You've got a little piece here. I've got a little piece there.
No, we got big pieces, Leo. You and I have big
pieces. We've both got the biggest pieces.
We've got a very good overview.
Right. But it's been an absolute eye-opening thing to watch your videos and now communicate with you directly.
Yeah, wonderful. Listen, finish up now by telling folks how they can get in touch with you, and I'll remind them where they can get my book and the manuscript that has all this detail in it immediately.
Absolutely. They can find my work at leohoman.com. That's spelled L-E-O, first name. Homan is spelled H-O-H-M-A-N-N, two N's at the end, leohoman.com. They can buy my book on that site, Stealth Invasion, which we discussed earlier, and there's a new edition in paperback that is on Amazon, but they can get the hardback copy from my site, which will be a signed copy. Just follow me there. I'm also on Gab. I'm on Facebook, although I have two strikes against me.
We both have two.
Yes. On Facebook.
That's equality. That's genuine equality in doing God's work. We both have two strikes.
I got my second one just yesterday.
We got our second one about 4 days ago. They've been busy.
Yeah, they found
We had a few from the past, but then they ran out.
Well, that was what I was just going to say. Yesterday, they informed me of my second strike, and it was something completely the last thing I would have expected and that I posted 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a complete innocuous reference to something that was in a mainstream Detroit newspaper. And I simply asked a question about what was reported, and they said that had violated their standards. They didn't say how it violated it, but Mr. Homan, you have strike number two.
I think part of it is generally the same thing as what COVID-19 guys are trying to do. They're just trying to make us crazy and feel helpless and confused, because they're not even coming at us in a rational pattern.
Right.
One of the strikes for me was an article, the 2015 Medicare article that I evaluated. But that one was understandable because I got that information up to Trump and he canceled the funding after that within 2 days of the sending money directly to China. Though Fauci's finding ways around it, I think I've found them in our book. Another was for my antidepressant stuff, folks. An interview I did with an author critical of antidepressants. So it's really quite strange.
Yes.
But this is happening all over America. If you're just newly tuned in and you just have never heard about this stuff, everybody who's fighting for freedom in America is being canceled, thrown off, assaulted. By all the social media, pretty much all of it, whether it's YouTube or Facebook or Twitter.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, liberal, or conservative. If you speak the truth about a certain taboo issue, like vaccine passports, for instance, or vaccines in general, you will be deplatformed. Naomi Wolf, she's a famous liberal author. She just got deplatformed from Twitter because she's been speaking the truth about the dangers of the coming vaccine passports.
But it is, folks, it is mainly the conservatives and the freedom fighters and the free speech people.
Well, right. There's some liberals, though, that are becoming
they're getting caught, fighters. Too. You know the funny one where their algorithm tried to take down something on the CDC website because it was about vaccines, because one of the first places their little algorithms go. So we should say goodbye now. This has been an amazing and lovely interview. I look forward to getting to know you better and better. And again, I thank Ginger Bregan for finding you out there in the world.
Thank you, Ginger.
Thank you, Ginger. Yay for Ginger.
Yay for Ginger. I'm very, very happy to be connected with you in this way. And I hope, that we can do some work in the future together.
Oh, we will. We're going to do it today. I'm going to send you some stuff.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bregan.
Very, very, very good. I'd asked him to call me Peter in the beginning, but okay. I guess my age is such that Dr. Bregan, it seems appropriate to some folks.
Absolutely. You'll be Dr. Bregan in my mind, but thank
you
for that
thought.
All right,
folks, the usual ending. Thank you for taking this so seriously. Thank you for listening to this tough stuff. Thanks for taking it seriously. Thank you very much, Leo Holman.
Absolutely. Thank you.